You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Check New York Bozo! New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
I'm going to go so angry Jim Rome on you, Brian, it's going to be ridiculous.
Jordan made some good points, and that was cute.
Who, me?
Well, you're real handsome. Your eyes look real nice today in that jersey, Brian. Tell you that right now.
And bring you some more devastation and more knowledge and more fun facts about...
Did you just promise
tonight
that we're going to go devastate all of our listeners?
All right, guys. Welcome back. This is our second episode of the week. I am your de facto host again, Brian Fonfara, joined again by Dusty Evely and Ben Club. We have another awesome show for you here. We're going to be looking forward to the game against the Arizona Cardinals, and we got our guest interview coming up in just a moment. Before we go over to that, I'm going to plug our sponsor here, tell you that Pack to the Future podcast is brought to you by our friends at Sioux City Jerky. Amazing jerky made in the USA with a great variety of Asian, Southwestern, and delicious bacon jerky, as well as an awesome tundra teriyaki flavor that they made and designed just for us at Pack to the Future. So try them out at SiouxCityJerky.com. There's a link in the description below. Keep in mind there is Christmas coming up, and these would make an awesome, awesome stocking stuffer. I will be using it for that purpose. I promise you that. Visit SiouxCityJerky.com today and try them out. Now for the one segment of this week's episodes that John did contribute to. He did handle our guest interview, so I'm going to kick it over to John. Take it away, buddy.
All right, Packer Nation, joining me tonight in this week's guest interview, I got Jess Root of Cards Wire. Jess, how are you doing, my man?
Doing great. My Cardinals aren't doing great, but I'm fine.
Oh, well, join the freaking club, man. I mean, I don't know what's going on in Green Bay, but I am not a fan, I'll tell you that much. I mean, we got two teams coming into this week that, you know, I would say are underperforming in ways, and it's gonna be interesting, dude. Real quick, my man, how have you been writing with for the Cards Wire and all that jazz?
Well, the Cards Wire started in July of 2016. The USA Today Sports Media Group, it opened up with a few teams. They started Cards Wire in July 2016, stole me over from my previous network, and I've been writing there ever since.
Awesome. And you're enjoying it, I assume?
I do. I've been writing about the Cardinals I've been writing, like managing a Cardinals team site since 2011 and covering the team as media since 2012. So, yeah, I mean, this is a team that I grew up watching from the time I was a teenager.
Man, there's something special about football, man. I think it's a great sport that kind of brings people together. And I mean, it brought us together tonight to talk about two teams that were, trying to figure out what's happening. That I think for you guys, I don't know what would you say is more concerning to you right now. I mean, obviously you guys have a rookie quarterback in Josh Rosen, and you have a first year head coach in Steve Wilks. I mean, is anyone more so than the other one with where the season's at right now?
You know, there's not a lot of concern about Pete Rosen because everyone was ecstatic, in fact, when he was drafted. So there's a lot of optimism about Rosen. The question mark is, while everyone was very high on Steve Wilks when he was hired, the results have been very bad, and there's talk that he might be a one and done, something that hasn't happened with the Cardinals. And Cardinals have had besides for the last decade, they've really, except for the last decade, they've had a pretty bad history. And I don't believe that they've had a one and done coach since the 50s.
I mean, I was scrolling through your Twitter feed, Jess, and I saw that, Wilkes came out and said that he's not an effort coach. And I'm wondering, is there, can you read into that wrong? Or I mean, what was his intentions in saying something like that?
It was prompted by a question that was asking about the effort the players are given. And he said he hasn't seen it. He hasn't seen an issue at effort, but he said, I don't coach effort. Coach, the effort's supposed to be there. If we have to coach effort, we're in trouble. And the truth is, I agree with that. At the pro level, you shouldn't have to coach effort, because that should already have happened in Pop Warner.
Yeah, absolutely agree with everything that you just said, Jess. And I mean that. And you guys have a first rookie quarterback, first year coach, and I mean you guys are looking to have a high draft pick here. And I mean, is it safe to say that's where pretty much the mindsets are at right now in Arizona?
Well, yeah, they're trying to win football games, but the movement has begun. They cut Jamar Taylor last week, a veteran cornerback that they traded for in the offseason to be a starter. He didn't work out. He's been cut. Bene Benwickery, a guy that Wilkes knew at Carolina, he played pretty well for the first part of the season, started being consistent. He was cut. Veteran right tackle Andre Smith, he was cut. And now who's going to go into his place is rookie seventh-rounder Corey Cunningham, giving the Cardinals 1, 2, 3, 4 starters, 4 rookie starters on offense. A rookie backup running back to go with they've got a pretty good special teams player that's also an undrafted rookie, because they're leaning on the rookies right now. It's a youth movement. They just let go of they placed Josh Bynes on injured reserve. They cut kicker. Nope, they placed Phil Dawson on injured reserve, and so they're going with the younger kicker, Zane Gonzalez, former Arizona State guy cut by the Browns earlier this year. So they are looking to the future. They're trying to win games, but they're trying to win games with guys that they're evaluating for 2019.
Now, have there been any like star performers that you didn't see coming this year?
Well, we haven't gotten any star performances out of really anyone this year. Patrick Peterson's been pretty steady. Chandler Jones is doing what he did last year. He had 17 sacks, led the NFL last year. He's got 11 in 11 games this year, so he's keeping up with this pace. David Johnson, we believed with what the offense, what was sold to the fan base was a heavy dose of David Johnson offense, a ball control offense to shorten games and give the defense, the talented defense, a chance to dominate with a quarterback in Sam Bradford, who would be, he would be safe with it, which is that if you look at his career, that's what he's been. He's been a safe, solid quarterback throughout his career. Here's the thing. Everything went wrong.
Yeah.
Sam Bradford was terrible. He was beyond terrible that we've ever seen from Sam Bradford in his career. He just looks like he's washed up. David Johnson was, one, ineffective, and Mike McCoy had no idea how to use him. So the offense was terrible. The defense took a long time to adjust. The run defense has been bad. There's been some progress, but then it goes back to bad. And it's inconsistency with the scheme. They were learning a new scheme. And so the defense, which was supposed to, the offense was supposed to be steady enough to allow the defense to develop, because you put a new system in place, it's always going to take about a half season. They've been inconsistent. And so they'll look great sometimes, and then they'll give up terrible plays. And then the offense has been dreadful all year. David Johnson is back on pace roughly for about a 1,000-yard season. But, yeah, early on it was just scary bad. There's been no star performance. There's only been glimpses of the future. Chandler Jones continues to be solid. Patrick Peterson continues to be solid, although he did ask for a trade a few weeks ago. So what his future in the Valley is, we don't know after this season.
Well, I got to say, a couple hours ago, Jess, you guys just signed a star performer in Quentin Rollins.
So if he starred, why was he on the street?
Oh, man. I remember when the Packers got a solid year, rookie years, out of Demaryius Randall and Quentin Rollins. And then after that, it was just like, where did these guys go? You hope that guys can find themselves again and, make themselves relevant, play play football at a high level. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But the last question I got for you, Jess, is what do the Cardinals have to do on Sunday to beat the Green Bay Packers?
Well, I mean, hope for a miracle?
Let's be honest.
Since the Cardinals have talent, here's the thing. They have a defense that is capable. And what they have to be able to do is to be disciplined in the run game, because their pass defense has been pretty solid. I don't know what's ranked, but entering last week, they were the number four ranked pass defense in the league in terms of yardage. They've been pretty good. In spurts, they're really good about taking the ball away. They rush the quarterback really well. I think they were fourth in sacks going into last week with 33. They picked up another four against the Chargers and Phillip Rivers. So they've got some pieces into place. The problem is they face adversity offensively. If they get off schedule on offense, they really don't know what to do. And if they get behind, they're not built to be able to come back quickly. So it has to be kind of a perfect thing. The defense has to play well early. The offense has to put a couple of good drives together to score some points. And then they have to be mistake-free. They have to protect Josh Rosen. And so it's a case where everything has to come together. They need the offense to be solid. They need the defense to be solid. And they can't give up big plays, which is really hard to do when you have a guy in Aaron Rodgers who can pull rabbits out of his hat, who can will his team to your victory. And, here's the thing. Here's how you know that you can beat the Packers is be up by more than 1 point going into the fourth quarter, right? Isn't that the stat, the money stat about Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, my gosh, dude. That's when I read that, my mind was blown. It was
right.
Absolutely blown. You know what he brings to the table, but then you see something like that, and, you know, the rumors have been out for a little bit that, you know, Rodgers might not be as clutch as everyone thinks. And you're like, you sit there and you think to yourself, I mean, you look at the Hail Marys, you look at the other stuff, and then you see a stat like this come out and you go, well, that doesn't really seem to be too clutch right there. You know, that's funny you brought that up, dude, because I literally saw that today and my mind was blown. Absolutely.
Well, the way I see guys like Aaron Rodgers, because Kurt Warner was kind of the same way. I hate to use the term front runner because it has a negative connotation, but what he is, he can get your team off to a great start, get you ahead, and if you are ahead and things start to go awry, which with a team that historically the Packers and their defense has been up and down, so things can go awry, but if they were in control at one point, he can bring you out of it. That's what we saw from the Cardinals and Carson Palmer in 2015. The recipe for them: start early, let the opponent get back into the game, maybe even take a lead, and then bring them back for a victory. But you go into that fourth quarter with a lead.
And that's, I mean, with this stat that just came out today, that might be enough. I don't know. But Jess, the last thing I got for you, the little fun thing that we do at the end of these guest interviews is just, can you give me a score prediction for what you think is going to happen on Sunday at noon?
Whew. Well, what? I mean, two touchdown underdogs right now. I'm going to say that the Cardinals, I mean, Green Bay's desperate right now. The Cardinals are injured and a little bit desperate on their own. I'm going to say this is probably going to be a 17-point Packers win. Let's say we'll say 33-16 win for Green Bay.
Okay. I'll take what we can get at this point in the year. And Jess, I just got to say this. I really, really, really appreciate you taking some time out to sit down and talk with me about where the Cardinals are at. I feel way more informed than where I was before. And one last thing before I let you go, where can we find you on Twitter, and where can we find the content that you produce about the Cardinals?
Well, the site is CardsWire. It's pretty easy. Just CardsWire.com. It's a USA Today site. On Twitter, you can find me at Senor Jessroot. That's SenorJessroot. and that's on Twitter. I also host a podcast called the Rise Up Sea Red Podcast. Find that on Apple Podcasts, all over the place. You can Google it. You'll find it all sorts of places.
Well, Packer Nation, check out everything that Jess is bringing to the table about the Arizona Cardinals. And last time, Jess, again, I appreciate the time, and best of luck to the Cardinals moving forward here. And, you know, hopefully we're looking at a playoff game somewhere down the road here that we kind of had in 2009, where that was just an absolute barn burner. That'd be way fun to talk about. Way fun
Heck,
to talk
even
about.
Even 2015. 2000, it's playoff games, Cardinals and Packers, that is fun.
They're classics, man. Absolute classics. So, you know, down the road, man, hopefully we get to do this again. Other than that, you be well, take care of yourself, and we'll talk soon, my brother.
All right, thanks so much.
All right, thank you, Jess.
No problem.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Jess Root of Cards Wire. Check out the stuff. We're kicking it back to the green and gold. All right, brother, I appreciate it. And, like I said, you literally nailed it on the head. When these Packer Cardinals playoff games are legit unreal. So maybe one day, man. Maybe one day.
That'd be great. My gosh, I was at that game a couple years ago. I could, in the press box, I could not believe, any of it that happened. The overtime, it was the craziest thing I had ever seen, the craziest thing I'd ever felt, even as a fan, even as a media member. It was wild. It was wild. Like, press members, like, both sides were, it was, and there was, it wasn't, like, cheering. It was just, wow. But it was amazing.
The quality of game that turned into just literally came out of nowhere. And the fact that you were there, man, that gives me goosebumps almost just to know what that atmosphere must have been like. Absolutely insane. Yeah. And then you guys go on and win a Super Bowl in the next couple of years. I mean, it's you guys are coming around, man. I really do think that, and I think Josh Rosen's going to pan out to be a good one. You know, it's just, you know, if your head coach is kind of, you know, we're dealing with it now. Obviously, I think Mike McCarthy is a better coach than Steve Wilkes, but you start.
Hey, maybe it'll be Mike McCarthy next year, right?
Dude, very, very possible. I know that the talk around here is that, you know, it's time for McCarthy to go, and I would tend to agree with that, because I'm starting to see the disconnect between Rodgers and McCarthy. And if you're gonna choose between one of them, I think you have to stick with the first ballot Hall of Famer. And let the coach.
Right. It's way easier to find a decent head coach than it is to find a franchise quarterback. Yeah. And, I mean, Deshaun Kizer is the answer, right?
Dude, I think he is. I love it, dude. Well, hey, like I said, brother, I appreciate the time. And, you know, if we were to face off again, I'd love to have you back on and do this again. You were so awesome. So. I appreciate it, brother.
All right, take it easy, man.
All right, we'll talk later, Jess.
Awesome interview. Thank you, John. Always a good time. Guys, I say we get right into it and start looking into next week's games. So I'm going to kick it over to Ben. As I mentioned earlier this week, he is imitating me. So Ben is going to handle what we need to do to get a victory in this week's game. Ben, take it away.
All right. Well, you know, scouting opponents is always one of my favorite parts of football. I like to see what the opponent's going to do. And the Arizona Cardinals, first and foremost, what I have here on their offense is one of the main things I'm looking at. The Cardinals have – their offense is very good. I'll just put it like that. They've struggled this year. And, you know, they got a young quarterback with Josh Rosen. Mm-hmm. They run a lot of – 12 personnel, one back and two tight end sets. They run a lot of 3-by-1 sets. But kind of like the Packers, they don't do a very good job of getting guys open, especially in their last game. They struggled through the air. Rosen, he has a tough time in the pocket. He gets flustered really early. And I sound like a broken record almost week to week. playing some of these inexperienced quarterbacks. But he was one that looked at and said, you know what, if the Packers can get enough pressure on him to force a bad throw, it can create a lot of takeaways for the defense. And that's, to me, one of the biggest factors is going to be this game is getting pressure on the quarterback. Find a way to get pressure on the quarterback. Mike Pettine this season has shown how different he is than Dom Capers, like we saw last year. Capers sends pressure from every angle of the field to force the issue, to force getting the takeaway. He's going to make the quarterback make bad decisions, and he's going to bring a safety or an inside linebacker or an outside linebacker, or even a free safety to create pressure, to make those quarterbacks make bad throws. Mike Pettine, on the other hand, he's going to send four guys, sometimes three guys, sometimes five guys, but usually it's the standard four to five rushers, especially in the nickel situation. He's going to send his four guys with their hands in the dirt. If I was Mike Pettine this week especially, I would send Martinez, you know, on a stud, create five and six man pressure. We've seen a lot of pressure from the slot corner position, and I like that. But usually he's dropping a guy, he's dropping an Andrew outside linebacker. I would send pressure because Rosen, he's going to make mistakes. It's just a matter of when he's going to. So I would send pressure, get a lot of pressure in his face, and play solid coverage in the secondary. That's the second thing on here is to play fundamental defense. I think if the defense plays well enough, with as bad as the offense has been this year, if they play well enough on defense, and you can hold them to 10 points, the offense surely can generate enough points to win this game. Kind of like the recipe for success in the Dolphins game. When it comes to, you know, defense, the pass defense that we saw last week in Minnesota was bad. You know, I'll just say it. I think everyone knows it. It was bad. Just get back to playing the base fundamentals of defense. And since the Cardinals run a lot of bunch sets, and since they want to put three receivers to one side, I would suggest running a lot of man coverage for Mike Pettine. And that's been the best recipe for success on defense and secondary this year is running man coverage. Last week we saw one play that comes to mind, Josh Jackson, in a cover two look, struggle to play that flat area. And guys are just getting space behind him, between him and the safety, and the offense is getting 8 to 10 yards of yardage at a time. Mm-hmm. So I'd go back to the fundamentals and play good press man coverage. Larry Fitzgerald, again, even for his age, is still a good receiver. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to be aware of the matchups. The best defender in our secondary, in the Packers secondary, by far this year is Jaire Alexander. I would trust him enough. He played well on Diggs in man coverage last week. I would just keep rolling with it. You know, if they want to send a man out of that 3-by-1 set in motion, I would just run him with them in man coverage. And then, and if you're playing cover three, you got to bump. You got to be quick to adjust because they're quick to snap it once that motion man, that flanker, whoever's coming to motion, comes off the tackle. They're quick to snap it. So you got to be in good position pre-snap. So that's what I would say as my second point. And lastly, get the offense in rhythm. You know, I talked a lot on Twitter this week about some of the offensive problems that the Packers have had. A big focus point is the run game. I would say get the run going early and often with Aaron Jones. The Cardinals play a base 4-3 defense. We'll see a lot of seven-man box fronts with them, seven-man fronts. They'll roll an outside linebacker down to create a five-man line of scrimmage and two inside linebackers. They'll roll them, they'll bump them pre-snap. So the Packers, I think, especially in the running game, the inside zone has been the go-to. Aaron Jones does a great job cutting and seeing the cutback, and he'll hit it. I think if we can collapse that front, he'll have a good alleyway to run in on the cutback. We saw a couple of quick traps last week in the run game, usually out of 11 personnel, even 20 personnel. They'll run those quick traps. I like what Lane Taylor's doing up front and him. Byron Bell struggled a little bit last week when it comes to run blocking, but seeing where everyone is now, I think a lot of those quick traps could work. And then once you establish yourself on the ground, then Rodgers can pull up and throw. I wouldn't go to the pass game early on. I would just try to run it down their throat the first couple of drives of the game. Get in a rhythm, even if it's through the air, just get in a rhythm offensively, and especially when third down. Because I think the team, if the Packers can win third down, then we won't have any trouble on offense. The Cardinals have a good pass defense. I like what they do in their secondary. They run a lot of cover three. They're running a lot of cover one. They're not going to bring very much pressure. So the front, especially the offensive linemen, have to anchor down. They have to play together. I'd like to see a lot of six-man protection because they do. Those front four guys Arizona has, they can get after the quarterback. Mm-hmm. So I'd play a lot of six-man protection and just create mismatches offensively. Run a lot of motion. You know, bring some motion, run some shifts, and kind of get them out of their coverage, especially if they're playing a lot of man coverage. Run a lot of motion with that pre-snap to see what they're going to do in the secondary. So I think, again, create pressure, play fundamental defense, especially in the secondary, and get things going in a rhythm offensively. I think the Packers should come out with a win.
All right, you have a score prediction?
Yes, I do. I predicted the Packers win this one 28-24. I think it'll be closer than people think. Ooh. Just because we can't – the Packers have had a tough time finishing off opponents. I mean, keep your foot on the gas and get after them. But I think it's going to be closer than people think. 28-24 is what I'm going with.
All right, fair enough. I love what you brought up about Jaire Alexander being so good. I see it as Mike Pettine had Darrell Revis and Revis Island in New York. I'm thinking, tell me what you think of this. How about the Isle of Jaire, Green Bay?
Ooh, I like it.
That sounds fancy.
I like that.
We gotta make that one stick.
Yeah, I'm yeah, I'm gonna pursue this aggressively. The Isle of Jaire, here it is. Starting now. All right. Dusty by the knot.
Yeah, I want to start out just by saying that I feel like we've talked about this before, but now that Ben is here, I really want to make sure that we bring it up. Ben finally talking negative about Dom Capers has been one of my favorite developments over the past year. Welcome aboard, Ben. We are very happy to have you. Very happy to have you. It's funny because a lot of stuff that Ben said, it's numbers that I kind of pulled up from the Football Outsiders numbers, and I'll go through them for you in a bit. But kind of his game plan to win, honestly, a lot of that is kind of what the Seahawks were. It was kind of, we'll look at it now. The Packers have the second overall rush offense, according to Football Outsiders DVOA, and the Cardinals have the 21st best run defense, and the Packers currently have the 9th best pass offense, but the Cardinals have the 9th best pass defense. So it's not quite, I think the Seahawks were better, better against the pass, but the point remains is that you've got this. The Packers have an edge in the rush game, clearly have an edge in the rush game. And what they need to do is they need to utilize that. That is the biggest thing you need to do. I don't want to spend too much time on it because that's what Ben just talked about as well. But that's exactly what we said going to the Seahawks game. And then what did Aaron Jones get, like 4 carries in the second half or something? Like, this is one of those, they've got the advantage. You need to use it and just, I don't want, not step on their throats, just aggressively kick them in the throats. Just as hard as humanly possible, just kick them in the throats with this, because this is what can get you there. And on the other side, I mean, Ben mentioned that the Cardinals offense is bad. Cardinals offense is really, really bad. Really, really bad. And they have gotten a little better and a little more inventive since they promoted Leftwich to offensive coordinator, but they are ranked 31st in by Football Outsiders DVOA in both pass and rush offense. And right now the Packers are 17th in pass defense and 23rd in rush defense. So that was kind of the thing against Seattle was, well, the Packers have a really good rush offense and a really bad rush defense, but Seattle kind of had the same thing. So it was kind of this pounded out game. And the Packers decided, no, we're going to throw the ball, which Rodgers got his numbers, but you're not playing the numbers that way. So this seems like one. If the Packers can establish their run, the Cardinals hopefully cannot establish much of anything. I mean, they'll get some runs, they'll get some passes here and there. Rosen has shown enough flashes that he'll put a little fear into him, but you know, not enough to really scare him too much, especially since the game is at Lambeau. So I kind of decided to start looking at some of the terrible things that the Cardinals offense has done. They're last in the league with trips to the red zone. They get to the red zone less than two times a game, 1.7 trips to the red zone per game. Green Bay, for awesome. As much as we've kind of harped on how bad they've been this year, 3.1. They get to the red zone 3.1 times a game. Cardinals, 1.7. One, that is remarkably bad. That's goodness gracious, really, really bad. And then I also wanted to look at some of their splits, so their home and away splits, which, to be fair, they're not good anywhere they play. Not good anywhere they play. But at home, they get outscored by opponents by 9.5 points, which, you know, isn't good. But hey, man, it's single digits, so that's cool. Away, when they play away, they get outscored by 16.2 points. Now, granted, away they have played the Rams, and they've also played the Chargers and the Chiefs. Good offenses. But they get scores. Their average score when they go on the road is the opponent scores 30, and they score less than 14 points. Their biggest scoring output as a team away is 28 points to the Niners. Aside from that, 0 points against the Rams, 17 against the Vikings, 14 against the Chiefs, and 10 against the Chargers this past week, where we saw Phillip Rivers tie the all-time completion record as far as completions in a row. The Cardinals are bad. They're bad, and they're worse away. And this game is in Lambeau, so I want to make sure I pointed that stuff out. And just really quickly, a couple other things. The pressure stuff that Ben brings up. Arizona's offense allows pressure on roughly 35% of their dropbacks, which is 29th in the league. And Green Bay generates pressure on 32.1% of dropbacks, which is fifth in the league. Now, this is skewed a bit since that was with Daniels in. And I do think, I mean, based on what we saw this past week in Minnesota, the loss of Daniels hurt them because Minnesota, I think, was 27th in the league on offense at allowing pressure. And Green Bay had a hard time getting to Cousins. So that doesn't mean they're going to get pressure, but this Cardinals offensive line is garbage. So I have to assume they're going to get something because they're worse than the Vikings, like two spots worse, but still when you look at them, it looks like quite a bit worse. So, and the other thing, if you turn it back around on pressure, Arizona's defense is 19th at pressuring quarterbacks, which is, you know, below average, which is good considering Bakhtiari might miss. So that's going to be key. If Rodgers can get time, he'll be fine, but they really need to focus on the run. The last thing I want to bring up is just it has nothing to do with this game. It's just this beautiful symmetry to the Packers offense so far this year, which is the only time you're going to hear that about the Packers offense this year. This is their point. This is their point totals by quarter so far this year. 68, 64, 64, 68. That's by quarter. So the first and fourth quarters, they have scored 68 points. In the second and third quarter, they have scored 64 points. It's this weird little thing, which I find strange because, their second half offense has been terrible the past couple weeks, but they've been exactly as good in the first half on a point basis throughout the season as they have been the second half. There's something beautiful and awful about that. That's all I got. My score prediction, I'm going to be a little more optimistic than Ben. I think this Cardinals team is just bad. I think maybe they'll threaten. I think it's one of those, maybe at the half, it's gonna feel like a nail biter. I think the Packers are going to end up winning this. I've got them 31-17.
Legit. Yeah, they're really bad. The Packers at home are not really bad. They're just regular bad. This is one that they really should be winning convincingly. And if they can't manage to win this game, I'm sorry, if I'm Mark Murphy and they lose this game, I'm standing at the door of the locker room waiting with security for Mike McCarthy to walk up so I can say, don't even bother going in there. Just pack up your stuff and go. That would have to be a last straw. It just have to. Because at that point, there's really not much of an argument you can make for Mike McCarthy gives us the best chance to win. So, yeah, mm-hmm. That's just the last argument to have there. So they need to win this one. This is a bad team they're playing. This team lost to the Raiders. I'm going to repeat that. This team lost to the Raiders. The Raiders, you guys. We cannot go on their list of losses. They're 2-9. They have to go down to 2-10. The Packers will win. It feels like frustrations will be let out in this game, and even with all the injuries, I've got even a little bit more optimistic on this one. I've got Packers 37-17.
Yes.
I'm going for it this week. Why not? Why not? All right, guys, good stuff. We're on to final thoughts. We'll start with our guest, Ben. Ben, if you have any final thoughts, share them now, and then you can tell us what you do over at Pack to the Future and where we can find you on Twitter.
Yeah, man. You know, it's, even as depressing that this season has been, I still think, you know, when it comes to this game, I know that, you know, I think it's going to be a little closer than most, but it's just kind of been one of the mirrors. I think the Packers can really, you know, get a little bit of momentum this week, you know, get a big win here, go on to Atlanta, and just kind of build off of that. You know, and it's going to be kind of weird. We haven't seen a noon game at Lambeau in quite some time now. it's going to feel a little weird not watching a primetime game. But, you know, I think Lambeau Field's going to be rocking. There's going to be a lot of fans there. A home game. Like you said, Brian, the Packers play terrific at home. And then after that, just got to find a way to go and be road warriors and find a way to try to get in the playoffs. But as far as what I do for the site, I write X's and O's articles every week. Usually they're tailored more towards the defense just because that's, you know, I love defensive football. So I write a lot about defense. I grade a lot of the tape out. I put some of the grades in articles. I try to get a scouting report out on the upcoming team. So hopefully I'll get one out over the Cardinals. It's been a little hectic recently with the holidays and everything. But yeah. We're kind of back on schedule now. So look for some of that coming out. I try to break – if there's any breakdowns anyone wants to see, feel free to tell me. And you can find me on Twitter at – PTTF_chalk talk, and I do a lot of breakdowns and film breakdowns and try to give the people what they want to see. So make sure to check it out.
Dusty, final thoughts.
Yeah, first off, I just want to say, man, a huge thanks to Ben for being here. Ben, I know we've talked a couple times before, but man, having you you know, full time at Pack to the Future has been amazing, and honestly it pisses me off a little. Because for a while I was the only film guy, and then you came on and you're just better than me immediately, and it makes me angry.
I don't know about that.
You absolutely are. But yeah, Ben, huge thank you for being on and all you do at the site, man. It's just if you guys aren't reading Ben on a weekly basis and following him on Twitter and some of the breakdowns he's doing there, man, you learn a ton. I know I've said this before, but the Packers have so many guys doing film breakdowns every single week. You can, as a Packers fan, you just a wealth of information as far as kind of learning tools and seeing what the team is doing, learning more about football in general. And Ben's a huge part of that. So thank you to Ben for being here and for all you do at the site, Ben. Really, truly, amazingly appreciated.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet, dude. So I've got four final thoughts, but I'm going to get through them quick. Cheapest tickets. You know, I do this every week. We're still not down to single digits, which I find insane to me. Because usually this time of the year we are.
That's ridiculous.
Isn't it? Isn't it crazy? There's a lot of teams that are garbage and are not competing for anything and they're playing each other. Like, how is this? How are we still paying double digits for tickets? I don't understand. But Brian, I'm gonna quiz you for a second here. So we've had one team that's been featured on here a lot lately. They're featured on here again. Mm-hmm. Brian, you get one guess. Who is that team?
I'm going to say Indianapolis.
It is Indianapolis. And here's the twist, Brian.
They're always in there.
It's not at Indianapolis. It is the Colts at Jaguars.
Jacksonville. They're
heading down to Jacksonville to play an absolute dumpster fire of a team that had like their best player, well, their best offensive player, get suspended for this next game for getting in a fist fight with a man, which I don't know if you saw this, but the fight was dumb and I get it. Like I get why he's suspended. I don't know if you saw what preceded it, which was a Jacksonville Jaguar guy catching catching a ball. I think it was down at the one, but he was in the end zone. And then the other guy, was it the Bills? I think they're playing Buffalo. Like laying on top of him, acting like he was taking the ball out when it was a clearly catch by the wide receiver. And this is one of my favorite clips of the year. There's been a lot of good ones this year. Where he's like laying on top of him, acting like he still has it for legitimately like 10 seconds. And then the fight breaks out and the fight spills over near the stands and the camera pans back. And that dude's still laying on top of him. He's still laying on top of him. Acting like, it's so dumb. It's so ridiculous. But anyway, Fournette's out. So you get the Colts going into Jacksonville. Luck is going for, if I'm not mistaken, his ninth straight game throwing three or more touchdowns, which would bring him into second place all time in that streak, just behind Tom Brady. He tied, I think he passed Manning this past week, Peyton Manning, the good Manning this past week. So you get to see Luck going in. They've actually, the Jacksonville's benching Bortles for Cody Kessler, who I don't hate. So what you're getting is Andrew Luck and the Colts, who are doing remarkably well this year and the first year under Frank Reich, going into Jacksonville to play Cody Kessler and the Leonard Fournette-less Jags. If the defense shows up, this could be a decent game, but this defense just seems like they're pissed and they're not playing well at all. So I think this is going to be a blowout, but it's $14. So if you feel like watching Colts-Jags in Jacksonville, which maybe you're Jason Mendoza, I don't know, and you want to go to that game, but if you're Jason Mendoza, you'd be pissed because Blake Bortles is not playing. So if you want to see Cody Kessler starting in Jacksonville, it's $14. You can probably find something better to do. I think this game's going to be garbage. second final thought. We're talking spooky season. I've talked about this TV show before. I say spooky season. It's always spooky season in my heart. So you just try to do a movie or TV show. Actually, I've been reading books again, which is weird. It makes me feel smart. I finished the book, the Shirley Jackson novel, The Haunting of Hill House, that the Netflix show is based on, and it was amazing. The language was cool because it was kind of old-timey, but I really like kind of seeing stuff that the book kind of took from it and adapted for its own use. But it was a quick read. I started reading it on my way back from Dallas from a conference and finished it this past week. If you haven't got a chance to read it yet, it's got some spooky moments, but it's really well-written and kind of engaging and a fairly quick read, so that was fun. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I don't know what I expected, but it was good. Number three, I don't know if you guys saw this. Did you guys see Will Blackman's tweet about McCarthy and picking hotels during those
weeks? Yes.
Yes. I'm going to read it. And then there's a couple of responses from former players that absolutely killed me.
Fantastic.
So this is the original tweet. It's from Will Blackman. On November 25th. It says, when I was with the Packers in 2008, we lost four straight road games. Every time we lost, Coach McCarthy made sure each hotel got worse. He said, if you want to stay in a nice hotel, win a damn game. One hotel in Jacksonville, I swear I was on first 48. So then he tags James Jones and Charles Woodson. So Charles Woodson weighs in with, that's the truth. I think my room was outside on the roof. which makes me laugh. I know it's not true, but the response from Blackman killed me. The response from Blackman was Johnny Jolly's room was still waiting on forensics to arrive. Just amazing. Just amazing. And then big man Colin Jenkins weighs in with, if I remember correctly, didn't we have to eat under a big tent outside? It's a tremendous, if you get a chance, look at this tweet and just roll through, because a bunch of, like, I think like the team photographer at the time weighs in on something as well. And some other players weigh in. It's really, really funny. And it's kind of an eye-opening look at kind of where that Packers team was at that time and kind of a motivational tactic of McCarthy. So It's funny and kind of informative. I ran through that entire thread and was just dying. It's hysterical.
It's legit. That's absolutely legit.
Last one, guys. I do this every year around this time, which seems to be way too often because I feel like this is the third or fourth year in a row. It feels like the Packers are out of the playoffs. Now, in past years, they had proved me wrong with the run the table stuff, but this year, I think I don't see any way they're making the playoffs at this point. However, it doesn't mean that you stop watching football. It doesn't mean you stop cheering for them. And beyond that, it doesn't mean that there's not stuff to watch for. If something is frustrating you and you're curious about something, just watch it. If you know coaches film, if you're like, well, you know, if Bakhtiari's out this past week, how's Spriggs doing? Legitimately, just every single snap, you just watch Spriggs. The broadcast kind of zooms in on those guys. you watch him, you see what he's doing. And also pay close attention to some of the replays. Some of the replays they'll show are from the all 22 angle, are from that kind of spider cam angle where you can see a little more. If you're curious about route running, if you're curious about how a certain guy is performing, and you're just kind of curious about certain things guys are running, just look for that. Just because the Packers are out of the playoffs doesn't mean that there's no reason to watch these games and get excited about these games. I mean, I've been watching them all season. It's been frustrating, but watching some of the stuff the offense is doing has been still pretty exciting. So, you know, they may be done. This season might be, for all intents and purposes, done, you know, especially after week 17. But keep watching the team. Keep paying attention to the team. And if there's something curious about, man, just dig in deeper. And, you know, speak for myself and probably Ben here, you know, we watch a lot. There's a bunch of guys that do. If you've got questions, you can ask us, you know, if hey, I saw this, is this right? Something like that. But man, just pay attention, just watch a little closer, just maybe watch the game in a different way than you used to watching. You know, you're not just following the ball all the time. You just look at something you're curious about and just watch that. And it's amazing how much more you can learn about the game that way. So that's kind of my end of year speech. If they're not going to watch the playoffs, just keep watching, and, you know, find a fun team to watch. I'm following the Rams this year as I was last year. And I think that they're a really fun team to watch through the playoff run. It's going to be fun. But when you're watching the Packers, man, just enjoy it as much as you can. And just try to learn a little more about the game while you're doing it. So that's kind of my final thought. You can find me on Twitter at Dusty Evely, and I'm also at All22 Talk, which has been fairly dormant for a while with film breakdowns, but I'm hoping to get back to that in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, that's me.
Cool. Well, Dusty, your last point, like word for word, stole my first final thought. Like legitimately, like I said the same exact thing last year. They're not going to make the playoffs. They're struggling, but find whatever joy you can. And if that's critiquing something, if that's watching one player or whatever, just don't stop watching. Just try to soak in whatever you can. Like McCarthy's on his last five games. Like, I don't know, try to find the good things that he does, I guess. I don't know. That's really hard to do at this point, but I don't know. Just enjoy it. So I've mentioned my affliction with beer lately, how I can't drink it. It's been making me sick. So I was going to have to switch to mostly whiskeys. The first one I'm trying, I wanted to try something that I'd never had before. I found this John Barr whiskey and it's actually not bad. And I'll be sipping on that for the next few weeks. So yeah, there is joy to be found in the world, even when things go wrong. Mike McCarthy's your head coach. You can't drink beer anymore. Like there's still joy to be had. And scotch brings me some of that joy. On the subject of scotch, my drinking game for this week, we don't play the Cardinals a lot. So my guess is that they're going to be referencing our last two matchups against them in the playoffs. So I'm going to say drink every time that they show the Larry Fitzgerald overtime big gain where Dom Capers just totally screwed up the coverage. And I know players did too, whatever. I just wanted to, you know, kind of spit on Dom Capers for a second. And they'll also, I'm sure they'll also show some double Hail Mary stuff from that same game, but then they'll also show something from that 51-45 loss that we had the year before we went to the Super Bowl. So yeah, I'm going to say just drink heavily when they bring up those two big plays that effectively ended those games. That might be the only way you get through what could actually turn out to be a fairly boring game if the Packers offense doesn't get it together. You can find me on Twitter at @PTTF_Brian. We as a group are on Twitter at @PTTF_podcast. And that is all we have for you guys this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you have any feedback at all that you can share with us on this new format that we're testing out right now, we would love to hear it. So far, we've enjoyed doing it because mainly it's given us a chance to get to your Twitter questions again, and that's been a ton of fun so far. So thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.